$1 million train contract, and something went wrong in the public service here in Queensland. Michael Ford's report into what went wrong with the purchase or the contract of new generation rolling stock trains in this state is a damning indictment of governance in the Queensland Public Service Department, the Transport and Main Roads Department, but interestingly, not of government. Because as you'll hear in just a moment, the Commissioner, Michael Ford, has done a pretty thorough job of looking into the problem, has not laid the buck anywhere. In other words, the buck doesn't seem to stop anywhere. And I'm fascinated as to why that is. You'll hear in just a moment. 27 degrees in Brisbane, Bayside 26, Logan 27, Ipswich 28, the Gold and the Sunshine Coast 25 degrees. Well, as you've heard in the news throughout the afternoon, public servants in Queensland in the Transport and Main Roads Department knew the new trains, the new generation rolling stock trains, were not compliant with Australian law, but they apparently didn't do anything because they were too scared to give bad news higher up. A Commission of Inquiry's report into the rollout of the NGR trains was released publicly today, as promised by the state government. The 24 recommendations have been adopted by Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk. The fleet has been plagued with defects, including disability access issues, passageways that were too small or too narrow, and toilets that are too small for a person in a wheelchair. This is against federal law, and I should point out today is the day where we acknowledge or remind ourselves of Australian of national or international human rights agreements were signed. Former District Court Judge Michael Ford led the inquiry. Michael Ford, thanks for coming on the program.
Yes, thank you.
The bureaucrats in the Department of Transport and Main Roads knew the problem was there, and they were scared to say anything, is your take on this. Is that right?
That's part of the story, Steve. I think that's being a little bit too specific as far as the period from 2008 to 2017 is concerned. You have to start with the premise that the rail gauge in Queensland is a narrow one, and therefore federal legislation may not have specifically appreciated that in the first instance. So you had a construction of rolling stock which required certain measurements for access and that according to federal law, but it's very difficult for in the construction to comply with that. Now, having said that, there are alternative ways of complying.
It doesn't matter if it's difficult, though, does it, Michael? They're supposed to tell the boss.
Well, that's a good point, yes. And in this instance, there was a failure to escalate that knowledge to a higher level so that the problem could be dealt with. Remembering this, of course, that when the contract was signed in 2013, there was an expectation that they might be able to comply, although the contract provided for non-compliant terms, and there was an expectation that perhaps down the track...
The contract was rubbish, basically, Michael Ford.
Rubbish. I wouldn't use that word. I'd say non-compliant with federal requirements. And there was an expectation that down the track there would be an ability to either get an exemption or to make such measurements in as far as the specification was concerned. This was a design, build and maintain contract, which means that the specification does not have... It's a performance specification.
Yep.
The specification does not have all the detail that you might find in if you were building a house, for example.
Sure. Now, fair enough. So mid-level bureaucrats failed to sound the alarm about the compliance issue, partly because they feared disappointing senior public servants and ministers responsible for overseeing the program.
That is another simplification. For this reason, is there was, from the time the contract was thought of in 2008, there was, for example, an ordinary tender process. There were two companies of good repute appointed to on the shortlist. Then there was a change of government. Then there was a change of leadership from Queensland Rail to Projects Queensland under Treasury to Transport and Main Roads. And superimposed above that was a public-private partnership which changed the relationship between the contracting parties completely as far as responsibilities were concerned and liability for the cost of construction. So if you have those factors plus the delay in this instance, you had a combination of Queensland Rail and Projects Queensland and TMR, a tension there as to who was responsible and who was going to, at the end of the day, attempt to avoid non-compliance.
But Queensland Rail and Transport and Main Roads are always connected. They always have to deal with each other, whether or not someone's the boss on a project or not. They always deal with each other, Michael Ford.
It's except this was unique in that usually Queensland Rail were the lead on rail contracts with long-standing construction groups such as EDI Downer and others, whereas this was put offshore in India with a view to getting the work done within a good time frame. Because of the rolling stock involved, EDI, for example, pulled out of the process because they couldn't meet other commitments as well as this one in a timely way.
My guest is Michael Ford. He's the former district court judge that led the inquiry into the new generation rolling stock trains here in Queensland. The report was released by Anastasia Palaszczuk's government today. In a moment, I'll speak with the Transport Minister, Mark Bailey. On page 30 of your report, it's revealed that Bombardier, the company, knew this and provided three options. In other words, the company themselves warned the bureaucrats that it wasn't compliant. They couldn't comply, so they gave them three options. In other words, the company tried to help the state government department.
Yes, and those options were about access paths on the train and within the train to the toilet and down between the seats on the train. And back to the point, on a narrow gauge, you have to readjust. And what happened in this instance was that they couldn't get the width in the trains to accommodate the larger type wheelchairs, which are now prevalent on use. So what was required was an equivalent access approach. In other words, change the nature of the seating, change some of the accessible areas that required the wheelchairs to be placed in those areas, and some change to the nature of the ability to get past toilets into other rolling stock was just not on at any stage.
Okay.
So what we have therefore is a requirement that there be alternative access requirements, and there was a clear failure to adopt that approach.
Now, given that the company, Bombardier, warned them and gave them three options to try and solve part of the problem, why didn't you as Commissioner recommend any disciplinary action or sanction against the project manager or the senior manager in Transport and Main Roads that signed off on the final contract?
Well, you've got two questions there. The person that signed off on the initial contract, you mean to commit the state to a non-compliant contract. There was, at that point in time, an expectation that they might be able to either get exemptions or to comply with a change in design because it wasn't locked in. There was under the contract an ability to vary the contract to meet those non-compliant terms. In this instance, there was a failure to do so and a failure to look at alternate accessible. Your second question is, why didn't I carry out some process of discipline? I'm not a disciplinarian as such. My job is to point out where the problems occurred. It is up to government, and remembering they not only had public sector persons dealing with this, there were also consultants involved from the private sector. So there's no power, for example, even in government to discipline people unless, of course, there's fraud involved or some misinformation or whatever.
Nothing for incompetence?
Oh, well, it reflects on the person's ability to get other jobs, I imagine.
My guest is former district court judge. Isn't it funny? I assumed a judge would see themselves as some form of disciplinarian because you have to assess evidence, pass judgment and pass sentence. But essentially you've given no sentence against the project manager nor the senior manager that issued the contract under the name of the people of Queensland.
I think you're confusing the criminal law with the civil law.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Now, given what you found, How do you see the public-private partnership model? This is your point, that because of complications around the narrow gauge in Queensland, which shocks me that we're still talking about something that was supposed to be resolved at Federation, but here we are. The public-private partnership model, what you've shown is that we don't have the governance ability in the Department of Transport and Main Roads to handle public-private partnerships.
I wouldn't say that. The problem here was procurement, and as you know, I've sort of written a book in this area, or you may not know.
No, I didn't know that. I'd heard the rumour.
Well, the problem with procurement is this. Once you change the scope and the instructions and the nature of the task, and you superimpose upon that a different legal setup, as it were, you create confusion. And so what you had here is a public-private partnership, which in itself, with infrastructure these days, is often the way to go because it lessens the liability for the taxpayer, because government have a partnership with the persons building the infrastructure. So that in itself is not a bad thing. And we weren't asked to look at the efficacy of this public-private partnership, or PPP. We were asked to look at how it impacted upon the procurement process. And from our point of view, it was a negative step in the sense that it disrupted the process. And then once you disrupt the process, you lose that continuity, you lose time, you lose people who are interested in perhaps quoting when there's a change in the nature of the tender.
My guess is Michael Ford. Michael, so Westminster accountability, the buck, from my reading of your report and your 24 recommendations, is the buck doesn't actually stop anywhere. I want you to frame it. Am I being unfair or simplistic, as you previously said?
Well, the ministerial responsibility is, as you say, part of the Westminster system. And if a minister fails in his or her duty to act, then it's a question of whether the cabinet, under the cabinet responsibility principles, will hold that minister responsible. Where there's a failure to escalate and to inform the minister of the minutiae, I would say, of a contract, in other words, do you have a measurement of 850 mils or 600 mils to allow access past the toilet? Ministers don't get involved in that minutiae of contracts.
No, yeah, you're right. No, I absolutely agree. But this is the problem. So how will we benchmark whether any improvement is made? Because this, my reading of your report is it's quite damning of not the government, but governance within the public service.
Not only within the public service, but when contracts are issued for requests for proposals to the public sector, for example, there has to be steps beforehand, for example, in this instance, to involve the disability sector and what's required for projects. It's not just, we're not just talking about trains here, we're talking about buildings and access to buildings and access to platforms and whatever. So what the recommendations do is say that disability requirements do not sit outside requirements and you look at them down the track, as it were. What you do is look at them up front and say, how do we comply with disability legislation in designing this particular project? And what we've done is tried to implant and embed in the future procurement policies in Queensland steps, clear steps, which allow the disability sector to have input in a genuine way and not just in a way which people tick the box and say we spoke to the disability sector, which is what happened in this instance.
But Michael, they don't need to because the federal law is already there. Federal law is already there.
We're talking about supervising so that the law is enacted, so that there's compliance with the law. In other words, we're trying to underline where the failures occurred so that at each gateway where they're looking at this project, they tick it. And if it gets up to the steering committee, which makes the decisions in these matters, which has the CEOs, the departments involved and that sort of thing, they will now be looking at the box and say, what has been done about disability? They don't have to be told. There is an onus upon them at that higher level from today onwards, because all these recommendations are being implemented, I'm told today, that there will be an onus upon the CEOs and the Director Generals to say, has this box been ticked? Has the disability sector had input on this project?
That hasn't been happening up until now?
That has not been happening.
That is gobsmacking. I mean, Michael, I mean, that's shocking. How long has the federal law been in place? 20 years?
2002.
All right, 15. Okay. Boy, oh boy. And so what? Bottom line for you, Michael Ford, as someone who's experienced in this area, have you ever seen a government contract or any sort of contract, private or public, as poor as this one?
If I was lecturing my students on probity accreditation requirements, this would be the classic case of what not to do.
I really appreciate you coming on this afternoon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Michael Ford, former district court judge, led the Commission of Inquiry into the new generation rolling stock trains. Let's go to Mark Bailey, Queensland's Transport Minister. The government of Anastasia Palaszczuk has agreed to implement all of Michael Ford's recommendations. Mark Bailey, you're off the hook.
Well, Steve, I think this is a great lesson for government about treating people with disabilities seriously and making sure they're consulted properly at the very beginning of projects to make sure that their needs are taken into account.
Do you feel relieved that you're off the hook, though?
Well, I don't characterise it in that sort of frame at all, Steve. I think what we've got to do is get to the bottom of it and make sure that it never happens again. We've got 20% of our commuters have some kind of disability or might be a senior citizen, have mobility issues, and they need to be catered for in our public transport system. And what we've see here is that that lack of consultation back in 2013 has created this enormous problem, and it's regrettable. There's no doubt about that.
The man who signed that contract in the public in transport and main roads is still there. What are you going to do about that?
Well, that would be appropriately, Steve, a matter for the Public Service Commission to consider. That's part of our response to the 24 recommendations, which we accept every one of them.
And you just heard Michael Ford say that this is a benchmark for his students in what not to do. So you have to do something about that.
Yes, Steve, look, I would absolutely agree with that. And we've already acted well before this report came down to increase resourcing in transport and main roads around accessibility issues with more staff in there with a senior manager overseeing it to ensure that these sorts of things structurally never happen again. And we've also changed our procurement already to ensure that the federal disability standards cannot be ignored by anybody in the process. So we've already been on the front foot to deal with some of these issues, but this report by Mr. Ford gives us even more information and a good template to ensure that this sort of situation never occurs again.
It's one of the worst examples of poor governance that Michael Ford has seen, as you've just heard. How will Queensland people know, who are going to now pay millions more again, how will Queensland people know that this has been stopped and that one of the textbook cases on what not to do is not going to happen again?
Well, we're accepting all 24 recommendations, Steve.
And but how will we know? How will we know, Mark? That's what I'm asking. How will we know?
Well, I guess it'll be in the response, Stephen. We've launched today a comprehensive rectification plan that deals with how we're going to go about rectifying the trains. And look, our view, Steve, is that we don't want to see just compliance. We want to see as full of functionality as possible so that if you've got a disability, whether it's a mobility issue, whether it's a hearing or a visual thing, that these trains include you and that you can use them and they're user-friendly. And we went on a very extensive consultation right throughout this year through the Griffith University John Hopkins Centre of including and literally doing physical mock-ups, and then we did a train that was identical to a real train, and everybody physically went through there and tested it out, gave us their information, and that's been the template for us to do a whole range of new measures on these trains, which should have been done in the first place, so 5 years ago, to be frank. A range of things, for instance, like adding a light in the toilet cubicle, because if you've got a hearing issue, you can see if there's some issue that might be a problem. There's a whole range of those things, Steve, that we've included in this contract because everybody should be able to access our public transport.
What will the total amount be, the total cost be to Queensland taxpayers to fix these trains now? What's the total amount?
Yeah, we're using the contingency allocation under the contract. So it's a $4.4 billion contract for 75 train. It will come within that contingency, so it's not an additional allocation. The total cost will be $335 million. That gets us a second toilet added to 75 carriages with the new design based on our consultation with disability groups throughout this year.
So $335 million extra over above what was forecast?
To rectify them, absolutely. And then we've got to obviously get the other 75 carriages that will have the older design and extend the module and then include all the new measures so that people can manoeuvre it and that they're compliant. Not only compliant, but really fully functional for a whole range of people with a range of different disabilities.
One of the things that came out of Michael Ford's inquiry was that the department bureaucrats weren't passing bad information up higher. In other words, they weren't telling the minister all the information that was relevant. How are you going to fix that? How are you going to rectify that?
Well, Steve, we certainly want the best advice, and I think you've got to remember when the toilet was deleted from the design and there was no consultation happening, this was in a context where 14,000 people being sacked from the public service. It was a very dark time, and I can understand why there was...
So you're giving your opinion now, but it's not in the report.
Well, what I'd say, Steve, is that we absolutely want the best advice, and we'll be implementing all the recommendations which ensure that, for instance, people have full visibility about their responsibilities on disability, compliance and procurement. From the most senior person in the department right the way down, they're very clear in the recommendations. We absolutely support that, and I'll be making sure that they're all implemented in toto as quickly as possible. So people can be assured that that is occurring,
okay.
And so that it never happens again.
Appreciate you coming on this afternoon. Mark Bailey, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
Mark Bailey, Queensland's Minister for Transport. The buck doesn't stop with him. Michael Ford, the Inquiry Commissioner, made that very clear, although he pointed out that the contract letting was the textbook example of what not to do with the letting of a government contract. Now, the company involved, the private company, the Canadian company, Bombardier, has released a statement. Let me give you a couple of their observations. They welcome the findings of the Ford Commission of Inquiry. Bombardier says, as the report highlights and has acknowledged by the Queensland Government, the procurement project of the train project failed to comply with disability legislation prior to the contract being awarded to the relevant consortium. Bombardier says, we're pleased that the report confirms Bombardier's transparency with the Queensland Government from the outset in relation to the challenges of achieving compliance with the relevant Disability Standards Transport Act. Bombardier says in their statement they've always maintained that the NGR trains were built to the specifications agreed with the state. The statement says, as the report details on page 30 to 31, Bombardier worked with the state of Queensland to highlight the complex nature of the project, specifically the challenges of accommodating across pathways and toilets within the narrow gauge structure. Now, you would have heard Michael Ford speak to that with me earlier on. The company says in their statement, as previously confirmed, Bombardier accepts the State of Queensland's decision to revise the design to further improve accessibility, and we will look forward to getting underway with this important work as soon as possible. With 37 trains currently in successful passenger service, we look forward to the continued delivery of NGR trains to the people of Queensland. It's my understanding that we won't have any more trains under the new designs for another 3 years, because it takes at least a year, I'm told, just to order and deliver the new toilet pods. That's before they're fitted, just to get them here. So, anyhow, $335 million extra. The opposition were invited onto the program this afternoon. They declined to appear, but they gave us a statement. The NGR procurement process began in 2008 under Anna Bligh, and at one point Anastasia Palaszczuk had direct carriage of the project when she was Transport Minister. The report from Commissioner Ford shows that during this period, the new generation rolling stock project was characterised by a lack of rigour, continual slippages and missed milestones. Anastasia Palaszczuk said today she didn't want to play the blame game, but spent a whole election campaign blaming everyone except Labor for the NGR mess. I'm continuing to read from the opposition statement. The attack ads Ms. Palaszczuk ran during the election campaign were clearly lies and xenophobic. Disappointingly, the inquiry hasn't examined the continual delays of this project under Labor or whether taxpayers will get value for money through the rectification works. That's the end of the statement from the opposition. It's 5:30. Let's go to Matt Wordsworth with news.